Thank you once again for the opportunity to be with you today, and I just want to thank you for choosing to come here today and worship the Lord. I realize there's many other things we could be doing, but I truly believe it's a blessing just for us to be able to come here freely, which is what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, and worship the living God. Amen. We have went just past what we call as Remembrance Day, remembering the ones, the veterans who went to war for you and I to have the freedom that we're enjoying right now at this time, okay? And I won't spend a lot of time on that and focus on that for the whole thing, but I do want to talk about it a little bit. I think it's very, very critical for us to remember the ones that really did go and give up everything here to go somewhere else and fight for me and you, okay? It's a reality of this life and this world that we're in. This is nothing new in the sense that people have been fighting for freedom since the beginning, the very beginning. You know, man, when he was in the garden, Adam and Eve, they had total freedom until sin came into the world, and ever since, we have been fighting for freedom in one form or another. And we will be until the return of our Lord and Savior, okay? But I just took a little time this week for myself to look at some of the veteran stories who went and fought in the wars, in different wars, and the things they endured, and the uncertainty they faced in the prison camps. Some gave everything they had. The Bible says, what more can a man do than lay down his life for a friend? And really, that's what they were doing. They were laying down their life for me and you so that we could have the freedom we do today. And I just, I think it's important that we remember that and not forget it. And as we are going to remember the Lord's Supper today, there's a reason for us to remember these things, because so often we forget about them until we are faced with the loss of our own freedoms, and then all of a sudden we get real concerned, okay? So as you think about that, I'm just going to today talk about freedom, but I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about it more from a biblical perspective than anything, but I do want us to look at the two types of freedoms that me and you are trying to strive for today, and why they are important, and some examples of how Jesus used his freedom, okay? But let me ask you this. Do you really seek freedom from anything today? I don't need you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think about that. Because sometimes we become enslaved and we don't even realize it. You understand what I mean? We can sometimes become enslaved to things that when we don't even realize it, okay? But I want you to know there's a lot of times that we enslave ourselves. We put ourselves in prison, okay? Now, that doesn't sound very smart to me, or you probably, but I think sometimes we do that, and we're going to look at some of that today. But first thing I want to do is give you a definition of what freedom is according to the dictionary. So when you think of freedom, I'm just going to give you a definition of what the dictionary says. Excuse my voice is a little bad today. The dictionary says it's the quality or state of being free. How free are you? Are you a little bit free? Are you kind of free? Are you mediocre free? Are you totally free? Okay? But it's a state. And it says it is liberation from slavery or restraint from the power of another. Now, you and I here in Canada, and then maybe North America, the U.S., you know, we have absolutely considered ourselves a free country, okay, for a long time. And I just hope and pray that we can remain that way. But we do see our freedoms and liberties being taken away a little at a time. Would everybody agree with that, okay? I don't think that's hard to see. But if we look around the world in other places, we can really, if we really, really look at it, their freedom compared to ours is very small. You cannot go there and just do the things that we do here freely. You can't. And I've spoken with some of the old war veterans before, and what amazed them is the places where they fought, of how those people were under such tyranny, such control of the government entities, that they had very little freedom. But when they were called to fight, they had to go fight, okay? And so you and I today, there's one thing I want us to think about, excuse me, a little bit. I want us to look at freedom from God's perspective, from the Word. That's most important, because that gives us freedom from things that maybe are different than the things of the world. So when we think about freedom, it's interesting to me, as I think about it, so often we see people that are either put in prison. You know what? Their freedoms, a lot of their freedoms are taken away, right? And what's interesting, though, even though they have their freedom taken away, if it ever gets to the place where they can get out, a lot of them go back out and continue to do what they were doing before they were even imprisoned. You notice that? Okay? They go right back out and do it. So that tells you that it's important that we understand when we have freedom what we do with it. Okay, so you and I today enjoy a lot of freedom, but the question is, what are we going to do with the freedom that we have? Okay, is it all about me? Am I free to do what I want, when I want, where I want? Okay, is that what it is? Very important for us to understand. Okay, but we're a free country. In another word, we can pursue any activities we want, usually without restraint, okay? I mean, we have laws that keep us restrained to some degree for our own good, hopefully. But still believers and unbelievers struggle for freedom from one thing. I don't care if you're an unbeliever today, you don't believe in anything. If you are one of those people, I hope before you leave here today, you do believe in something. I hope you believe in the saving grace of Jesus. But there's one thing that affects unbelievers and believers, and that is the freedom that we need to have from sin. So there's freedom from, okay, and there's freedom to. We need to have freedom, okay, that there is freedom from and freedom to. We need to be free from having to do certain things, okay? And there's some freedoms we need to do certain things, so we're just going to look at them for a bit. Let's see what a few verses of what the Bible has to say about freedom, but before I do that, I'm just going to bring this up. Good example of freedom. The difference in the two of not having freedom or having freedom. At the back, I don't know how many of you guys get this or have seen it, but it's the Great Commission offering that we do every year, okay? But in here, there's a quick story here, and what's interesting about that is how some places where we take the gospel, we would be shocked if we were actually there and realize the freedom that they do not have. They do not have the freedom to serve God. They do not have the freedom to choose. They cannot even choose who they serve in a way. But I'm just going to give you an example. It says here, a CNBC pastor recently visited one of our three CNBC and IMB, International Mission Board, in other words, commissioned missionary units. Due to the missionary security status, in other words, they have to almost do it covertly, under the cover, under the radar, for fear of, you know, they could lose their life over it, okay? And it says, in the story below, they are referenced to me, or referenced to as M. You have to, because you got to use, code words. But anyway, here's a comment from a couple of Muslims, a man and a wife, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that come to know Christ in this country. But here's what I want you to, this is the statement they made, I want you to hear this. If we get baptized, we might be killed. So they had come to Christ and they wanted to be baptized, but they had a serious question. We just want you to know, if we get baptized, because that's a public thing, and they find out about it, they're probably going to take our head off or put us to death somehow. See, the things that you and I take for granted here right now, there's a lot of places on this earth that do not have that freedom. And it's no joke. It's not a laughing matter. It's serious. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. We need to have freedom from tyranny, but we need to have freedom to do things for Christ, okay, and all of that. So I'm just going to, first I'm going to open to John chapter 8. We're just going to read a few verses, John chapter 8. And it's verses 31 to 36. We're going to read that quickly and get us into the message. John 8, 31 to 36. Now, I want you people today to be free. That's what I want. I want you to be free. And that's what Christ wants us to be free. So we must ask the question, what freedom is he talking about? He wants us to be free from sin. That's number one. Now, if you want to be free from something, you need to know how to be free from it. So here's what is most important when it comes to our freedom and to not be enslaved in any way by anybody. I don't care who it is, okay? So here's what it is. Let's just start. We're going to start in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples." Did you catch it? If you do what? If you abide in whose word? In Jesus' words, in God's words. If you're not abiding in his word, chances are you're slipping off into slavery, okay? But it says here, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. So the question is, if you know the truth will set you free. I'm going to ask you, from what? From sin. So are you telling me that sin enslaves you? Takes your freedom away? I don't know. I don't know. I see people running around doing drugs, running their lives, and they just do it freely. But they still are enslaved, aren't they? That's the thing. Without Jesus in their life and without the truth, people will continue to be enslaved under sin. Okay? And some of us can still, even as Christians, if we're not careful, fall off into that type of slavery. We may have an addiction that that you've struggled with. I may have addictions I've struggled with. There's a lot of things we can get involved in that we may struggle getting free from. I have shared with you before, there's some things I've struggled getting free from, okay, and having the freedom to do something with my life. And I still struggle in areas, but I want you to know, God is there to set us free through his word, okay? The truth will set us free. Much of the world today doesn't want the truth. They don't know the truth. They think they know it, but they continue to enslave themselves because they fail to see the truth from God's word, okay? It's been said by a fella that I've kind of gotten familiar with a little bit and followed him a little bit, a guy by the name of Eric Metaxas. Anybody here ever seen Eric Metaxas? If you haven't, I'd encourage you to do it. He does a phenomenal job on what happened in Germany with the church at that time. You see, Germany at one time was kind of an epicenter of evangelism, right? I see, Martin Luther, the Protestant movement, and all of that. And when Hitler kind of came along, the church began to do something different. Of all of the churches, there were very few out of the total number of churches that stood up against the tyranny of Hitler. And I would encourage you to listen to his message. It's phenomenal. But one thing that was said is what happened in that time, and if we're not careful, we will do the same thing now, and we will lose a lot of our freedoms, especially our political ones. Now, there's the political world, spiritual world. Sometimes we cross over into that because I'll tell you what, if we don't have political freedom, we're going to have a harder time spreading the gospel. Would you agree with that? Okay, so we need political freedom to be able to do that. It appears that in the U.S. and Canada, a lot of our leadership is trying to take all of that away. They're trying to do this. They're trying to silence us. You ever notice today in today's world how if you want to have a discussion with someone on a topic, that they feel strongly about, a lot of them will not even debate. And I don't even like the word debate. I like discuss. Let's discuss it in a friendly manner. You notice a lot of even the political leaders today, they don't want to be involved in any kind of discussion or anything. It's just this way and you shut up. That's called being silenced, okay? But it's been said. Now hear this and try to remember. To be silent in the face of evil. To be silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Don't sound very good, does it? You ever been quiet when you could have said something for Jesus? You ever been quiet when you could have stood up for something political that would make a difference for your children? I think we've been silenced, folks, quite a bit. You know why? I think we're afraid of the losses if we open our mouth. Listen, we have a lot more to lose by being quiet than we ever will by opening our mouth if we're doing it for Jesus. I'll tell you right now, okay? Don't be afraid to speak up on matters that make a difference, especially when it comes from the backdrop of God's Word, okay? We've been silent too long. I don't believe we need to be totally focused on political matters, but because what happens in the political world affects me and you having the ability as this couple to be able to exercise our freedom to spread the gospel. And that's our focus, okay? Okay, but it says, they answered him, we are Abraham's. Now, he's talking to the Jews who did not want to accept him as a Messiah. And he said, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. Okay, we're good enough. We're connected to Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. We're free to say what we want, do what we want, regardless of what you say. Even if you say your words are truth, we don't care. We have our own truth. Isn't that interesting? But it says, we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? So he asks the question. Okay. How will you ever be free if you don't even know the truth? If you don't know the truth today, you're never going to be free. Okay, according to God's word, not man's, okay? Sometimes they'll run parallel, sometimes they won't, okay? But Jesus said, how can you even say it? Okay, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin, now I want you to get this, if we commit sin, what does it say? Is a slave of sin. Have you ever in your life been a slave to sin? Joey says he has. Well, that's one out of the group. Two? No. We know we all have been at some point, right? We have all been a slave to sin. So he says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, can you finish the verse? You shall be free indeed. Now, free from what? See, we need to realize what he's talking about. Free from what? Bondage, enslavement to sin. We may be in bondage, thrown in prison as Paul was, but we're free anyway. Because we're free in Christ and what he's done for us in taking our enslavement away and putting our faith in him and giving us that ability. So no matter what goes on around us, we have to understand that if we are free in Christ, we are free indeed. Okay? But here's the thing. I want to ask you, do you believe that we are free? And do you believe that Jesus gained victory over death? Who agrees? Do you think Jesus really did gain victory over death? Did he? Okay. If you really believe that, do you believe that if you're one of His, that you have gained victory over death? We have, haven't we? Okay. Do we live like that? How far will we go with the freedom that we have to share the gospel? Do we really believe that He overcame death? And if we believe that, something has to kick in. We have to put faith in that fact. If you really believe it and you put faith in the fact that Jesus gives you victory over death, should we fear death? No, we shouldn't. Well, faith says that there needs to be some works involved. Because faith without works is what? Dead. Do you want your faith and what you claim to be dead? Or do you want to be evident and you want to be active and be engaged in the world? Remember last Sunday, in the world but not of the world? Okay, we need to be in it, but we need to be engaged for Christ. That's the difference, okay? Okay, so if we are in any way holding back and being silent and not sharing the truth, okay, not just our opinion. I want you to know, I hear people say, well, there's a lot of different opinions. That's true. I mean, our opinions are formed on something, right? You have an opinion for a reason. You have looked at something, you've studied something, but you've come to that opinion that you have, okay? Opinions aren't all bad, but depending on what we base them on. If we base them on God's Word, that's our opinion. We think it's true, okay? That's the difference. But we do need to understand that no matter what, we have the freedom to live for Christ, even if it means this. Don't sound very pleasant, maybe, okay? But let's look at the life of Jesus. He's the one that we want to follow His example. So I'm just going to give you a few. So Jesus gave us a lot of good examples how to use the freedom that we have, okay? One thing Jesus did not do, and here's something He did not do. He did not use His freedom to deceive anybody, right? Let me ask you this. Have you ever deceived anybody? Jesus didn't do that. He used His freedom not to deceive anybody, okay? There's a lot of times when you and I decide to tell the truth, it's going to get us in a lot of trouble, right? You ever notice that? A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. Have you ever been there? I don't want to hear it. I've had people say, I just don't want to hear it. Okay, all right? A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. So what happens is the pressure is on, okay? The pressure is on for us to do things we wouldn't normally do. When you have people that disagree with you and you know what they're saying is not true, the pressure is on, right? The pressure's on not to tell the truth and not to disagree and remain silent. But remember, silence in the face of evil is what? Evil itself. Think about that, okay? But it says, but when Jesus stood before Caiaphas, remember when Jesus stood before Caiaphas, the high priest, and He was told, tell us if You are Christ, the Son of God. They were wanting Him, in their opinion, to do something what they believed to be was blasphemous. Now, this is Christ Himself accusing Him of blasphemy because He claimed to be the Son of God. Okay? And Jesus responded, it is as you say. Okay? But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming in the clouds of heaven. He took it further. He said, not only am I the Son of God, but you're even going to realize it someday because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that I am the Messiah. I am the King of Kings. What was the reaction? You remember? What did the high priest do? Tore his clothes in a show of being so upset and unhappy about what Jesus said, okay? So no matter what, Jesus did not use his freedom to deceive. When he was under pressure, when things were really, really tough, he continued to tell the truth. You and I need to keep that in mind. Do not deceive anybody. Don't pretty it up. Don't paint it up. Tell it the way it is, as they say. Okay? Just a couple more we're going to go through. Okay? Here's something else Jesus did not use his freedom for. He did not use his freedom to threaten. You know that? You ever threaten anybody? Okay, first of all, we may have deceived somebody, but now over here, have we threatened anybody? Jesus didn't do that. He had freedom, but he chose not to. We should not choose to use our freedom to threaten. Okay? Jesus suffered many threats. When he was going to the cross, and we look at all of the things that Jesus suffered and endured for me and you, he never retaliated back, did he? Do you understand the kind of damage he could have done if he would have chose to? He could have called, what? A whole army of angels. Jerusalem would have looked like a ruinous heap if that's what he would have chosen to do. He had that at his disposal, okay? But yet he chose not to do that. You and I, when we're put on the hot seat and under pressure, we have to be careful that we do not take that opportunity just to threaten. Okay? It says, all judgment has been trusted by the Father to the Son. So often, we do the next thing that Jesus did not do. And I'm going to give you this one. Jesus used his freedom to trust in the judgment of God. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, man, I see people, they get in trouble, they do things, and they get away with it. They just keep getting away with it. Why do they just keep getting away with it? Well, if that bothers you, and it bothers me, I'll admit, I don't like that. I like to see justice. I do. But one thing we need to remember, we're never going to have perfect, true justice in this world, in a worldly system, and you're seeing it played out all the time. What we have to remember is judgment crosses over into the next life. So that's when true justice will be served by the one true and just God. Don't worry that they're not getting their full justice here. That's what we long for. We long for a just judge or just government or, you know, all of those things. But if they don't happen, doesn't mean that the books are going to be settled in this life, but they are going to be settled in the next one. That's the thing you have to remember, okay? Okay? So, what should be our goal? What should we be doing with our freedom more than anything? We need to be reaching people with the gospel, like the shoebox operations. We need to get engaged. We really do. We need to get engaged. It's easy to talk, stand up here and talk, or sit there and listen. But when are we going to get engaged? You know, we need to have some skin in the game. We don't need to be just sitting on the sidelines. This is a serious battle we're in. It's a spiritual battle. There's a war being fought. I want you to know, if you're a Christian, you're already enlisted. You enlisted into an army, every one of you, and I, and everyone that's a Christian around the world. We may someday realize that the freedoms that we enjoy right now are completely gone. That could happen. I want to encourage you to get engaged in the political side to the extent that we can take the truth of the gospel and present it to the political world. Yes, we need to do that. May that not become our focus, but it is a part of maintaining the freedoms that we need and want to be able to do what? You know what? The Bible said we need to pray for our leaders, right? But I want you to know, a lot of people don't go further down that chapter and read the rest. You know what it says? It says that we need to pray for them so that we can do what? Anybody know? Anybody? we can live peaceable lives. Okay? It doesn't just say you need to pray for their salvation, which is okay too and important. But I want you to know, it says you need to pray for them that they will let you and I live peaceable lives. That's the main focus of that passage, by the way. Okay? Because if the government is against you, you're not going to live a very peaceable life. There's those people over there that said, if we get baptized, we could be killed. Their government is not interested in their peace. Okay? Many of the things we see called peace today is not the peace that we know as Christians. We need to have peace in our heart, peace in our lives. That no matter what comes, if we really believe that Jesus died and overcame death, that we have the same thing that's going to happen for us if we're one of His. Because it takes the sting away from death. So if you really love God and you put your faith in Him, you need to get busy doing the works. Okay? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Okay? So how do we use our freedoms? Well, I've given you a few examples of how Jesus did it. And I just hope and pray that as we move in to the area of Christmas and the things there, we remember that we have freedom because He came and He died for me and you. And how important that is, that we do not misuse our freedom. But I'm going to read a few verses before we close on some things that we are not to do with our freedom. Let's find them for you in a minute here. Okay. First, I'm just going to read a verse here. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23, talking about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. We talked about that. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. He said, you know, Father, you know what's going on. You see what they're doing to me and my people. I'm going to leave it up to you to be the judge. Sometimes we don't want to do that. We want to take judgment on ourselves. We need to leave it up to the judge, okay? Very, very important. So, let's see if I can find the verses I had here. Oh, yeah. Six. Okay, so John 6. For. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, 14 and 18. Okay, we'll begin in verse 15 of Romans chapter 6. We'll begin in 15, and I'm just going to read through that passage. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law? Now he's talking to the Jews again. They kept trying to convince people they had to be under the law. Yeah, you could be saved, but you still need to practice all the old practices of the law. And it says, what then shall we Or shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to what? To death. If you're under that and you continue in it, it's death, okay? And or of obedience leading to righteousness, which one do you want to be a part of, okay? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. Okay? Bible calls it being a bondservant of Christ. You and I, if we are all believers here today and we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are bondservants. We are working together. We need to be working together as His family, okay? It's what we need to be doing, okay? And I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness, that's in your whole life before you knew Christ, you were slave to that, okay, uncleanliness. And of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness. Let's do something different. Now you're saved. Let's put it towards righteousness instead of lawlessness. For then you were slaves of sin. You were free in regard to righteousness. Okay. What fruit did you have then in things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You ever done anything you were ashamed of? I have. Lots. Okay? Just downright ashamed of it. Should be. We should be ashamed of it. Okay? It should bother us. Okay? But now, having been set free from sin and having became slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And the verse that we're all very familiar with. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is the eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's where I'm going to close. So just remember, we live with an opportunity to share the gospel, but so often we don't take that opportunity. And what happens is we find ourselves being enslaved either politically or spiritually. So just follow the example of Jesus and make sure that we understand what our freedom really is, okay?